Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. This is your brother Mikhail Ahmed Smith here from Qalam. If you enjoy listening to our podcast, please donate to Qalam by visiting supportqalam.com. We love being able to share this content for free, and your donation ensures that we will always be able to do so. Each podcast we produce has thousands of listeners, so the support you give to this community in this effort brings immense reward. You never know who will benefit from your donation. Assalamu alaikum. All right. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wassalatu wassalam ala sayyidina wa nabiyyina wa maulana Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Allahumma inna nas'aluka hubbak wa hubba man yuhibbuk wa hubba amalin yuqarribuna ila hubbik. O Allah, we ask you for your love. We ask you for the love of those actions that you love. And we ask you, Ya Allah, for the love of those people who love you. Ameen, Ya Rabbil Alameen. Ya Allah, we ask you to give us the benefit of this gathering. Make it a means for our hearts to become alive. Make it a means for our heart to connect with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And make this gathering a means for the purification of our heart, inshaAllah ta'ala. Before we get right into the poem of Sheikh Ahmed Ubamba, Alhamdulillah, thumma alhamdulillah, there was so much support from people across the country and other parts of the world who were proud, happy for us, and just supporting the fact that we're studying this text of this West African scholar over here in Dallas. And so people from all over, one of the sisters, Ustada Fatima, she was back in Atlanta. And people reached out to her like, yo, what's going down in Dallas? What's up? And she was like, what's up? What's going on? And they're like, they're studying Masalik al-Jinan, which, I mean, literally people from across the world reached out and they were like, it just brings us to tears that this book is being revived. And so I just made dua to Allah that I'm able to communicate to you guys the message, and to my own self, the message of Sheikh Ahmed Ubamba, rahimahullah ta'ala, and what he's communicating to us in this poem. And it's absolutely amazing. I was just thinking, you know, when you look at the scene of scholarship across, we're talking about here in America, when you look at conferences and things like that, you never see West African scholars trophied, right? You only see certain areas, right? And I think that's played into our psyche almost. And so the reason why I'm bringing this book and why we're studying this poem is, number one, the brilliance of it and the knowledge in it. You're going to realize that as we get through more of it today. But second intention is we really need to be woke about scholars from all over the world. Do you know any how long has Islam been in China? But do you know of any scholars from China? Like, Islam was there for so many centuries. Malaysia, do you know any Malaysian scholars? Like, really, think about that. Right? And so we really need to connect to our heritage. These are lost treasures. Please make room, inshallah ta'ala, for the sisters coming in. Inshallah. Yo, when that tea comes, hook it up, bro. You got it? Yo, come join us, man. We need your barakah up in here. I feel you. Bismillah. So let's get going, inshallah. Inshallah, last class, we covered over 54 lines of his poetry. And today, if the AC helps us, we'll cover another 50, inshallah. Wallahu a'lam. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Nadamtuhu nasihat al-ikhwani, arju biha ridha lada rahmani. He says that I wrote this poem as a guidance for my brothers and sisters. Arju biha ridha lada rahmani. I'm hoping from this poem to gain the happiness and pleasure of Ar-Rahman. He says that's my intention for writing. والله ربي أجتدي وهو كريم تقبل أعمالي منا وأروم. He says, Wallahi, I exerted all of my effort and I hope that he accepts from me, and he is the most kareem. This is very important because our job is to do effort, but the acceptance and the completion is up to Allah, whatever we're doing. Don't focus on the outcome, focus on the process. As long as you're putting your effort and all of your sincerity into it, leave the rest up to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's what he says. He says, Wallahi, Rabbi ajtadi wa huwa kareem تقبل الأعمال منا وأروم. والله, I swear by Allah, I put my effort into it. I hope He accepts it from me, and He is most generous. And the word Kareem, just so you know for your notes, what does the word Kareem mean? The word Kareem means the one who gives بغيري استحقاق. He gives to the one who doesn't deserve. So sometimes, you know, you come to a gathering, you come to the masjid, shaitan's like, yo, you don't deserve to be here, yo. You know what you were doing. When that thought comes, the first thing you need to think is, yeah, I know, that's why I'm here. Because this is Kareem's house right here. And Kareem says, if you don't deserve, this is where you need to be. Feel me? Subhanallah. غُفْرَانَهُ وَلُطْفَهُ وَرَحْمَهُ هُنَا وَهَنَّا لِجَمِيعِ الْأُمَّةِ. I'm hoping for His forgiveness, His lutf, His gentleness, and His mercy. هُنَا وَهَنَّا, here and over there too. لِجَمِيعِ الْأُمَّةِ, for the entire ummah. That's what I'm hoping for.
وَمِنْهُ جَلَّ وَهْوَ ذُو فَضْلٍ عَلَى عِبَادِهِ أَرْجُو بِهَا هُدَى الْمَلَى.
He says, and from Him, I hope that this book is guidance for everyone. وَهُوَ ذُو فَضْلٍ عَلَى عِبَادِهِ, and He is the one who gives bounty. So now he's speaking about this book, and he's like, I'm hoping this is a blessing for y'all. I'm hoping this is a blessing for everyone here.
وَمِنْهُ أَيْذًا أَرْتَجِي كَوْنَ النِّظَامِ جُنَّةَ قَارِهِ أَنْ كُلِّ مَلَامِ.
And he says, and from him, I hope that this poem is a shield from all blame for anyone who reads it. For anyone who reads this, I hope that this is a protection for you. What does that mean? That means when you learn beneficial knowledge, that knowledge serves as a protection of your deen, of your honor, of your name, everything. When you learn the deen properly, you're protecting yourself through that knowledge so long that you act upon it. So long that you act upon it. So what does he say?
وَمِنْهُ أَيْذًا أَرْتَجِي كَوْنَ النِّظَامِ جُنَّةَ قَارِهِ أَنْ كُلِّ مَنَامِ.
I hope that this poem is for anyone who reads it, a protection from all types of blame.
وَكَوْنُهُ مُنْجِيَنَا فِي الْقَبْرِ مِنْ فِتْنَةٍ وَهَوْلِ يَوْمِ الْحَشَرِ.
He says, and I hope that this is salvation in the grave. مِنْ فِتْنَةٍ, from the trials and the panic of the day of resurrection. So he's like, I hope that when you read this, guys, when you listen to it, that it becomes a means for you to find salvation in the grave. And that's real. That's something to really think about. Those moments of loneliness where we don't have no one else and it's done. You know, you walk through that graveyard and you start to realize everybody up in this graveyard had thoughts in their head like I got right now. You know, I'm about to buy the house, got the Lambo still, I'm gonna flip some more Bitcoin when it pops back up. Everyone in the grave had those same thoughts, yo. Everyone in the grave had, and now look at them. All they got is their actions. That's it. And that's what he's saying. I hope that this book will be for you a protection in the grave.
وَأَنْ يَكُونَ جَالِبًا نُورَيْنِ لَنَا فِي فَضْلِ اللَّهِ فِي الدَّارَيْنِ.
And he says that, and I hope that this book becomes a light for you in both worlds. I hope that this book becomes a light for you in both worlds. What is he talking about? What's he talking about here is, you got to understand that we need light in this world in order to fulfill our objectives. But we learn from the Quran and the way of Prophet Muhammad ﷺ that that light is his sunnah. That light is the Quran. If you don't have light, confusion, darkness. What's the way out of that? Quran and sunnah. It will take away that confusion. Distractions, another type of darkness, because you don't have focus. When you connect to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the sunnah, that light takes away that darkness, and that darkness is that those distractions. So over and over again, there's examples of light being the thing that we need in this dunya. So when we talk about light, Quran and sunnah being a light, what we mean is a light here first and foremost. Because I'm living here first, and I need to know how to get through this light, this world. But the real place that you need light is where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, نُورُهُمْ يَسْعَى بَيْنَ أَيْدِيهِمْ وَبِأَيْمَانِهِمْ. That on the day of judgment, hadith are clear. It's pitch black on the day of judgment. You can't find your way. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, the only light that you're given on Yawm al-Qiyamah, on that day, is according to your holding on to the light in this dunya. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, there will be some people who have light like their fingertip. And even that, it'll be flickering, yo. You ever had the light, you know, the flashlight, you like, dang, it's not even working. You're hitting the battery. Prophesy, some says, some people will be trying to find their way with their finger, that much light, and even that's flickering. And then the prophesy, some said, but some people, the whole path is lit, man. Lit. And when people see that, oh, it's lit for you, this is sort of hadid. When they see it's lit for you, they'll be like, yo, can we roll? Can we roll with you? We roll with you in the dunya. Can we roll with you here? And they'll try. And the verse in hadid says, no, Allah will say, no, go back over there and get your light. But you can't get light in the hereafter. It's too late. So the point he's trying to make here, he just made a dua for us, man. He said, وَأَنْ يَكُونَ جَالِبًا نُورَيْنِ. I hope that this will bring light. لَنَا بِفَضِ اللَّهِ فِي دَارَيْنِ. That this will be light for us in both of these worlds. You need that light, man. وَأَنْ يَزِيدَنَا تَعَالَى أَيْضًا هُدًا وَإِرْفَانًا بِهَا وَفَيْضًا. He says, and I hope that through this book, Allah will increase you in guidance. Number one, we need guidance. Number two, irfanan. What is irfan? Recognition of Allah. Recognition, arafa, to truly arafa Allah, to truly know who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. Biha wa faydan, and to bring all benefits to you. So he's making a dua that this book is guidance, brings recognition of Allah. Because if you know Allah, brothers and sisters, if you know who Allah is, it makes everything easy for you to handle. When you're going through stressful things, when you're going through hard things, when you know Allah, you're good. Because you know, but when you have that lack of true recognition of Allah, then you start to be like, wait, is he really going to help me? Do I have support in this? Am I by myself? But the people who know Allah are like, nah, Allah is with us, man. Inna Allah ma'ana. Get up, man. Jazakallah khair, bro. Allah reward you, man. Allah reward you. Give you light in both worlds. I mean, all of us. So what does he say? وَمِنْهُ أَيْضًا أَطْلُبُ السَّلَامَ. Now he's still introducing the book. I know everyone's like, yo, let's get in it. But he's like, yo, wait, I got you. I'm bringing you into this, what he's talking about. He says, وَمِنْهُ أَيْضًا أَطْلُبُ السَّلَامَ مِنَ الرَّضَائِلِ مَعَ الْمَلَامَ. And he says, from Allah I seek refuge also from all shortcomings in character and all blameworthy characteristics. وَمِنْهُ رُمْتُ الْإِسْتِقَامَةَ أَبَدْ. And he says, I ask Allah to keep me constantly firm and consistent on the sunnah of the one who is the best of worshipers of Allah, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So this is a good point here. He's like, one of the things you should be seeking out is not that you're on the deen some weeks and off the deen other weeks, but something that you truly seek out is that consistency on the deen. That consistency on the deen. Like, I'm not off and on, I'm on it. I'm on it. Right? So he says, وَمِنْهُ أَيْذًا أَتْلُ رُمْتُ الْإِسْتِقَامَ أَبَدْ. I want constant, like istiqama, to be straight on the path, abad, forever. فِي سُنَّةِ الْمُخْتَارِ. Constantly on the sunnah, the way of Mukhtar, the chosen one. Who's that? Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. خَيْرًا مَنْ أَبَدْ. The best of those who worshipped Allah. So give us that ability. Then he says, أَعَاذَنَ اللَّهُ بِقُتْبِ الْأَنْبِيَاءِ مِنْ شَرِّ إِبْلِيسِ رَئِيسِ الْأَشْقِيَاءِ. He says, I seek refuge with Allah by the blessing of our Prophet, عَلَيْهِ سَلَاتُ وَالسَّلَامِ, from the evil of Shaytan, the head of all the wretched people. وَغَيْرِهِ مِنْ كُلِّ مَنْ تَمَرَّدَ. And I seek refuge with Allah from anyone else who is rebellious from His creation. وَشَرِّ حَاسِدٍ إِذَا مَا حَسَدَ. And I seek refuge from any jealous person whenever they have jealousy. We talked about that last week. وَشَرِّ عَيْنٍ وَكَلَامٍ مِنْ بَشَرٍ. And I seek refuge from any evil come from someone's eye or speech. So here is important. He's like, you got to be careful of the creation because sometimes they look at things and they affect it with that evil eye. So he's like, I'm asking Allah to protect me from the evil that comes from people's eyes and the evil that comes from people's speech as well. So these are two things that he's seeking refuge from. It's very important for us to understand that you need Allah's protection from these things. وَكُلِّ حَائِزٍ مِنَ الْخَلْقِ ضَرَرٍ. And I seek refuge from all of the creation that cause harm and benefit. وَمِنْهُ جَلَّ وَهُوَ قَاضٍ لِوَتَرٍ. مَنْ أَمَّهُ ذَا رَقْبَةٍ مِنَ الْبَشَرِ. He says, and from him, the one who is the fulfiller of all desires of those who have high aspirations. This is heavy. Listen, many of us, we need to raise the bar on our aspirations by raising the bar on our hope in Allah. He says, and I'm turning to Allah, the one who fulfills all desires of those who have high aspirations. We need to start reaching for the stars because you have great potential within you. But you keep doubting yourself and you keep doubting Allah. And that's why you're not reaching for the stars where you really need to reach to. You feel what I'm saying on this? The only reason that you hold back is because you fear failure. Stop fearing failure and reach for the stars, knowing that Allah is the one that's answering all the prayers. So that's what he's saying here. It's beautiful. He says, وَمِنْهُ جَلَّ وَحْوَ قَاضٍ لِوَتَرٍ مَنْ أَمَّهُ ذَا رَغْبَةٍ مِنَ الْبَشَرِ. And from him, the one who fulfills all desires of the one who has high aspirations from the creation. أَطْلُبُ. Now this is where he's coming back to me and you now. Listen to this. He says, أَطْلُبُ أَنْ يُنْجِيَ كُلَّ مَنْ قَرَى كِتَابَنَا أَوْ فِيهِ قَدَ تَدَبَّرَى. He says, I ask Allah to save or protect anyone who reads my book. Right? Like he's thinking generations from now. If you read my book, I got a dua for you. أَوْ فِيهِ قَدَ تَدَبَّرَى. Or anyone who was just pondering over my words. That's heavy. When you have a wali of Allah making dua for you, that, you know, I read this, I was like, alhamdulillah, I'm good, yo. I'm good. أَوْ نَالَهُ
بِمِلْكٍ أَوْ إِجَارَ أَوْ بِكِتَابَةٍ أَوْ إِسْتِعَارَ.
He says, or may Allah save anyone. You know how sometimes you get a book, but you don't read it? Y'all know what I'm talking about? So sometimes you buy a book. Oh, Sheikh said this book is good. So you buy it. And it just sits on the shelf, right? It just sits there. So he's like, okay, hold on. أَوْ نَالَهُ بِمِلْكٍ أَوْ إِجَارَ. Or anyone who got my book, rented my book, took notes on my book, or borrowed my book. May all those people be blessed. Ameen. Ameen.
بِجَاهِ حِبِّنَا شَفِي أَحْمَدَ صَلَّى وَسَلَّمَ عَلَيْهِ سَرْمَدَ.
May that person be in the presence of the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم. May peace and blessings be upon him forever. Now, back into the book. He says,
أَبْوَابُهُ ثَلَاثَةٌ وَقَبَلَهَا شَيْءٌ مُقَدَّمٌ فَرَائِقُ كُلَّهَا.
Here's the breakdown. He says, my book has three sections. My book has three sections.
وَقَبَلَهَا شَيْءٌ مُقَدَّمٌ.
And before it, there's a short introduction.
فَرَائِقُ كُلَّهَا.
But study all of it. It's important.
أَوَّلُهَا فِي ذِكْرِ بَيْنِ الْخَلْقِ عَدًّا وَتَفْصِيلًا وَبَيْنِ الْحَقِّ.
He says the first section that we're going to study, fi dhikri bayn al-khalq, is about the relationship between the creation and the truth. What's the truth? Allah, al-haq. Al-haq. He says the first thing is about the relationship between creation and the haq, the truth, al-haq. Addan wa tafsilan. He's like, I enumerated everything in meticulous detail I put in this section.
Wa thani fi dhikri radha'il al-wara.
The second section is all about the vices of the heart.
ظَاهِرًا وَبَاطِنَةً.
The discernible vices and the hidden vices.
حَيْثُ تَرَى.
Wherever they're found. So what's he going to go into in the second section? He's going to go up in your heart, yo. He's going to be all up in you. Like, this is what's going on here. This is what's going on here. This is why you're thinking this. This is why you're thinking that. And he's going to be breaking down what's going on inside of our hearts in the second section.
وَثَالِثُهَا فِي ذِكْرِ آدَابٍ مَعَى فَضَائِلِ مِزْ كُلَّهَا تَنْتَفِعَى.
He says, and the third section is a mention of all of the etiquettes. So listen, the etiquettes refer to our manners, right? So it's not enough for a believer to believe in Allah, to clean your heart. That's not enough. Because I know a lot of people that go to the masjid and a lot of people that do a lot of dhikr, but I can't chill with them because they got bad etiquettes. You spend time with them and you're like, yo, why are you so rude? Like, why are you cutting people off when you drive? Speaking of which, Dallas people don't let people over, man. Like, you put your blinker on and they, like, I'm like, yo. Anyways, we can have a halakha on that some other time. Nah, man, there's no excuses, man. But the point is etiquettes, adab. Like, How am I when I meet someone? How am I with my grandmother? What's the adab, the etiquettes? And the beautiful thing I found about Islam is, like, I didn't have those adab before Islam. And when I met the Prophet ﷺ, when I understood the Prophet ﷺ, it was all about adab. You know, someone sneezes, what do I say? What do I respond to him? How do I walk into this place? How do I leave that place? These adab of how to conduct myself was something absolutely beautiful when you don't know. And for some of us born into it, since I was 3, my mom told me left foot in the bathroom. You're like, yo, that's adi, right? Yo, someone help sister, yo. Good? We'll wait for you. Take your time. Nah, there ain't no scooting. That's it. No room. We got room on this side, but nah, it's all good. It's all good. We on it. You good? All right, bismillah. So he's talking about etiquettes. And what I was saying is for those who were raised with grandma and mother teaching you these etiquettes, it's adi for you. It's adi. It's normal. But for those who knew no etiquettes, when they met the Prophet ﷺ and the Prophet ﷺ taught them something as simple as istinja, they were like, subhanallah. Subhanallah. Like, I didn't have this before. So understand the beauty of having those etiquettes in your deen. And so that's what the third chapter is all about. Now he says, "Hada awanun insirafi lil maram." Now is the time I'm about to get into it. Natlubul aun min Allahi salam. I'm asking from Allah, the one of peace, help in my affair. Naqulu ba'da al-ibtida'a bismala walhamdi was-salati thumma al-hawqala. He says, and I say as I start, basmala. What's basmala? Bismillah. He's like, I'm starting everything you start, bismillah, yo. You wanna really like take something hard from this class? Try to adopt bismillah whatever you get into. If you can't say bismillah, out. You feel me, Yazin? You know what I'm saying? Like, just I walk in this spot, bismillah, I'm good. I'm going shopping, bismillah, yeah. I'm going to the gym, bismillah, for sure. No, seriously. Right? I'm going out to eat with the fam, bismillah. Like, everything that you could be rewarded for, enjoyable, bismillah. And if you can't say bismillah before it, yeah. Yeah. If you got to be like, astaghfirullah. While you doing it, astaghfirullah. Yo, on the real, to really be real with y'all, wallahi, true pleasure and contentment, is anything I can say bismillah with, is there's true pleasure and contentment in it. And what we learned from our previous class is, yeah, there may be something with a little pleasure, but normally those pleasures are followed by 1,000 pains. Those pleasures are followed by 1,000 pains. And some of y'all may have experienced and know just what I'm talking about. But the true pleasure that brings contentment, that I can say bismillah, no pains after them, yo. No pains. So think about that. Bismillah, just, can I adopt bismillah in whatever I'm doing? So he says, now I'm about to start. So I say bismillah. Walhamdi. So he uses the word basmala, which is short for bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Then he says, walhamdi, was-salati, thumma al-hawqala. Then I say, alhamdulillah. Then I say, salat on the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then I say, hawqala. Who knows what hawqala is? La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Now in our last class, I explained what la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah means. What does it mean? Exactly. Sister was listening. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah means what? There's no power to do any good and no power to refrain from any evil except by Allah. So he's about to start this book. He's like, I can't do it without Allah. So la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. That's what it means. All right, here we go. Muqaddimah. Muqaddima, he's starting now. Al-ilmu inda al-ulama'i yanqasim li-zahirin wa batinin sirran kutim. He says, yeah, you can stop it and start it. That's good? Okay, good. MashaAllah. He says, knowledge, according to the scholars, is broken down into two categories. This is Sheikh Ahmed Bamba coming at it hard. This is knowledge now. And the way he's able to structure it into a beautiful poem, amazing. Al-ilmu inda al-ulama yanqasim. He says, knowledge, according to the scholars, is broken down into two categories. How many? لِظَاهِرٍ وَبَاطِنٍ سِرًّا كُتِمْ. External and internal, exoteric and esoteric knowledge. سِرًّا كُتِمْ. This is a hidden secret. سِرًّا كُتِمْ, hidden secret, right? Got to drive through Arlington in the back, go through here, find a building, third door on the right, bam, you found the spot. Sirran kutim. Sirran kutim. It's a secret hidden, yo. How many categories of knowledge? Esoteric, exoteric. Zahiruhu muslihul lil a'mali wa batinu muslihul lil ahwali. The external one will rectify your actions. Muslih lil a'mal. It will rectify your actions. وَبَاطِنُ مُسْلِحُ لِلْأَحْوَالِ. But the internal one will rectify your inner state. Heavy. What is he saying? You can have all the right actions, but your inner state is destroyed, man. Your heart is full of jealousy, hatred, anger. You doing all the actions, salli, saum, hajj, everything. Heart is just like, so what is he saying here? One of them, the external knowledge, will make your actions upright. You need that because you need to know what to do in this world. I need to know how to pray. So some of us focus on the inner. Oh, my heart is clean, but I can do any actions I want. Uh-uh. And other people focus, oh, my prayer is straight, back straight as this. Bam. Right? My ruku is for real. Right? When I stand in a prayer, feet perfect, everything, you know, I'm good. Right? But that dude's heart is like, where your heart at right now? Somewhere else. Somewhere else. So he says, Zahiru, what is Zahir fix? Actions. You need that. You need your actions straight. وَبَاطِنُهُ مُسْلِحُ لِلْأَحْوَالِ. But the inner knowledge is the one, what? That's going to fix your state. Everyone feel me on that? It's very important. Amazing stuff. So, ظَاهِرُهُ مُسْلِحُ لِلْأَعْمَالِ وَبَاطِنُهُ المصلح للأحوال فأول بإسم تفق هندوئي وثاني عنهم بالتصوف وعي. He says the first one is called by the name of Islamic law or tafaqquh, understanding, du'i. That's what it's called. The first one is the science of right and wrong and the science of haram and halal and legal rulings. That's the first one. How do I pray? How do I fast? How do I do these external things? وَثَانِي عَنْهُمْ بِالتَّصَوُّفِ وُعِي. And the second one is given the name of Islamic spirituality, we'll call it. Why are y'all laughing? وَثَانِي عَنْهُمْ بِالتَّصَوُّفِ وُعِي. The second one is given the name of Islamic spirituality. Islamic spiritual rectification. Feel me? That's the second one. ثُمَّ تَتَقْدِيمُ الْفَتَى لِلْفِقْهِ عَلَى تَصَوُّفٍ وُجُوبُهُ قَدْ انْتَجَى. He says, but the student must first start off with the knowledge of the law first. You got to learn right and wrong first. You got to learn how to pray. You got to learn how to fast first. You got to learn what Allah wants you to do. Then you got to follow it up with the heart being clean in accordance to what Allah wants you to do. Feel me? All right, so look what he says. He says, فَأَوَّلُ بِإِسْءِ. He says, ثُمَّ تَتَقْدِيمُ الْفَتَاءَ الْفِقْهِ عَلَىٰ تَصَوْفٍ وُجُوبُهُ قَتٍ جَجَىٰ. He says it's necessary, wujub, wajib, for you to first learn the law first. That's important. You got to learn what Allah wants from us. Or else why? You can say, oh, my heart is good, but I do whatever actions I want. No, our way as a Muslim is we understand that the Prophet brought a way for us. So I need to learn that way that the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام brought for me, walk in accordance with that to the best of my ability. And now once I know that way, I start to learn that second science, which is going to rectify my inner state. Fahimtum? Any questions? So I could drink a tea a little bit. What's up, Abdurrahman? I see you plotting over there. What's up? No comments, man. Questions, man.
I know. So you know how they said that you have to learn
the external one first and then the internal one. Yeah, for sure. So that's the second one. That is the science of the second one. Learning who Allah, getting to know Allah, exactly.
So how would you be able to, you know, be like consistent and do what's right or wrong when you don't even have that fear of Allah?
Oh, yeah, you got to do them at the same time. But the point is you can't give preference to one over the other. So you got to first learn, especially as, see, most of us, if you think about someone who grew up in the deen, when you're a child, that deep internal stuff is going to go over your head. But at least how to pray, how to fast, all of that stuff, you can get that. You think about what I'm saying. And so the ideal thing is for, if we're training from the beginning, children need to learn that external stuff because it's easy to get. But then as you start to get mature, as you start to hit age of discretion, that's when we start to say, okay, how's your heart now? Do you have hatred for somebody? Do you have jealousy? What's that? You know, you understand what I'm trying to say? So he's trying to say that the first thing that you learn is the law, so you know what God wants from you, what Allah wants from me. And the second thing I learn is the inner state, so I know where my heart's supposed to be and learn how to get my heart right with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So now look what he says.
فَمَنْ إِلَىٰ إِخْلَالِ الْأَوَّلِ إِنْتَمَا حَلَكَ فِي الدُّنْيَا بِحُكْمِ الْعُلَمَا.
Again,
فَمَنْ إِلَىٰ إِخْلَالِ الْأَوَّلِ إِنْتَمَا حَلَكَ فِي الدُّنْيَا بِحُكْمِ الْعُلَمَا.
He says, the one who does not proceed to learn the first one, this person is destroyed according to the word of the scholars. Meaning every scholar will tell you, if you don't learn the first one, the external, you're messed up. You're not going to be able to move closer to Allah. Because think about it, guys. Allah sent you a prophet. Allah sent to you a person with the best of akhlaq teaching you the way to Allah. And what do you say besides that? I'm going to find my own way to Allah? The kalima has two parts. What is it? Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. There you go. Muhammad Rasulullah is that way. Otherwise, find your own way. Otherwise, find your own way. Right? So you have to understand the importance of knowing that way, because he's teaching us that way to Allah. Feel me? All right. So now he says,
وَمَنْ يَكُونُ بِالثَّانِي ذَا الْإِخْلَالِ يَحْلِكُ غَدًا بِحُكْمِ الْجَلَالِ.
And the one who ignores the inner science of cleaning that heart, tomorrow they'll realize when they stand before Allah that they're destroyed. What does that mean? Some of us here will pray, we'll fast, we'll do everything, we'll look legit. Thobe high up, scarf tight up. But tomorrow, when Allah opens up the heart, ooh-wee, inside it wasn't what we thought it was. Do you feel me? So what we're saying is, like, he's trying to say, if you just focus on the external and don't go deep and open the heart up and realize what's truly inside of you, then tomorrow you realize, not today. Tomorrow, standing before Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, okay, why did you become a scholar? Why did you learn the Quran? You say, oh, because I wanted to please you. Allah says, it's hadith, you're lying. You did it so people could praise you. Opened up. You're lying. You did it so people could praise you. That was it. You understand what I'm saying? So this is what he says. It's beautiful, brothers and sisters. It's beautiful. He says, مَنْ يَكُونُ بِالثَّانِي ذَا الْإِخْلَالِ يَحْلِكُ غَدًا. This person is destroyed tomorrow. The one who neglects the second one. بِحُكْمِ ذِي الْجَلَالِ. When they stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they'll see. He opens up the inside and we see everything that's real. Questions, comments? Okay, bismillah.
فواجب على العبد تورا جمعهما لكي ينال الأجر.
He says, so it is necessary for me and you, brothers and sisters, to learn both of these things. Both of them. You got it? To learn both of them. Why?
لكي ينال الأجر.
So that you can get a reward for whatever you do. If you're praying but your heart ain't there, there's no reward. I'm sorry. You did the external but your heart ain't there. But if your heart is off focus and you ain't praying, you still got the same problem. So we got to bring both of those together. MashaAllah. MashaAllah. So what does he say?
He says, وَمَنْ تَفَقَّهَا بِلَا تَصَوُّفِي فَذُو تَفَسُقٍ سَرِيحٍ فَعَرِفِي.
The one who learns the first one, the external without the internal, this person is a clear, clear, wretched person. تَفَسُق. He uses the word fisk. This person is in fisk, open sin. Fa'arifi, listen to what I'm saying.
وَمَنْ يَكُونُ بِأَكْسِ ذَا فَإِنَّهُ إِلَى تَزَنْدُقِ أَمَالُ شَأْنَهُ.
He says, now if you only learn the second one, and you just get all spiritual and what my heart feels and I want to meditate and I want to focus, but you don't have the first one, you become a heretic. You leave the religion. You're doing your own thing. You just made your own way. He says the word tazanduk, become a heretic. Does everyone understand the consequence of each? All right, the first one, he said, if you only focused on the external, the law, and you became a scholar, like you became a scholar of the law, like Islamic scholar of law, you know, like fiqh inside out, but you don't have the hal inside, the inner, you're an open sinner. You'll look perfect out external, but the internal's messed up. And if a person only focused on the external, we're going to talk about our hearts and how we can become closer to Allah and how we can do dhikr and this and that, but you're not even learning the external law, he says you easily can leave the fold of Islam that way. Does that make sense to everyone? Brilliant, yes.
Would you say without the second that you would also lose sincerity?
Without the second, there is no sincerity. The first one doesn't deal with internal state. The second science, the inner science, is the one that is the one that is all focused on the internal state. U'budullah ka'annaka tara, worship Allah as if you see him. That's the internal state. That's the second one. And that's why I'm saying a person can get up there, Allahu Akbar, and pray the most perfect external prayer and get no reward. Why? Because the whole time I was doing it showing off, I know y'all was looking at me. You understand? And so the second science is the one that's going to check that inner self. And if you don't learn that, you're destroying yourself. And you're still doing the actions. Yes. No doubt. That's why we're saying he's actually bringing them both up to us right now. So we're learning both of them at the same time. And what normally happens, brothers and sisters, for us is many of us get this late awakening because the inner is awakened first, and then we start to learn the external. You get what I'm saying? So I was chilling my whole life, high school, college, chilling, and then my heart started to ache because it needed Allah. And then I started to look in my heart. And then when I started to focus on that is when I was like, yo, I got to learn my deen. I got to learn the external. You get what I'm saying? So whether you start from this way or you start from that way, you got to bring both of these together. Yes? Yes, it can, definitely. I think so. But I think as you get stronger, it becomes more about like, because I want the reward from Allah sometimes. Like, when I'm walking to the masjid for Fajr, I'm only walking because I want that reward for Allah, from Allah. If there was no reward, I'd be sleeping, y'all. I'd be knocked out. Right? It's only because God told me and I want that from him. But that's just sincerity. There are so many other aspects of our heart, though. There's so many other things he's got to teach us about ourselves besides sincerity. Sincerity is just one of them. Yes, Yezin.
Question for you, personal question.
Personal, yes. Oh, of course. That's the constant battle. Like, you could sit at home and not do it, and then do you benefit anyone, right? And so you're constantly checking, constantly. Like, every moment you're checking, Ya Allah. And sometimes you just sit there and just cry, man, like, I'm ruined, Ya Allah, if you don't save me. Seriously, Yazan, that's real. Jazakallah for that. And then I talk to my teachers all the time. You know what I'm saying? The other key, too, is you got to keep some secret actions, yo. Everyone here needs secret actions. You have to have actions that even your spouse doesn't know about that you do. Because that's what will save you. There was one, I think it was Imam Malik, I may be wrong, who was seen in a dream after he died. It's probably not, I can't remember the scholar, but he was asked, what happened to you? He said, all the durus, all the lessons, all the public lectures, I got nothing for them. But Allah counted the Qiyam al-Layl I did when nobody saw me, and I got Jannah for that. It's heavy, yo. It's heavy. So you need those hidden actions, man. Need those hidden actions. Right? Okay, let's go forward. We got a bit more. Shahir last, and then we go forward. All right, we'll come back. Let's keep reading. Let's read a little bit. I got a little bit more for you. Since you can't make up your mind, I'm going to read. وَمَنْ لِفِقْهٍ وَتَصَوُّفٍ جَمَعٍ فَوَهْلَذِي حُقَّ لَهُ أَنْ يُتَّبَعْ. Oh, beautiful. He says, and whoever can combine the external and the internal, فَهُوَ الَّذِي huqqalahu an yu'taba. That's the sheikh you go with. That's the sheikh yu'taba you follow. That's the dude that you take as your teacher. Not the one who only has the inner, and not the one that only has the external. The one who you can see combines both of those, that's the person you roll with and take as a teacher. That's who you take as a teacher. The one who's able to combine both of those aspects of the deen.
أخرج ذا الحكم الإمام مالك رحمه رضي عنه المالك.
He says, Imam Malik, he said once, and may the Malik be pleased with him. And Imam Malik once said, and may the Malik be pleased with him.
وَلْتَعْلَمَنْ بِأَنَّ الْعِلْمَ وَالْأَمَلِ هُمَا وَسِيلَةَ السَّعَادَةِ أَجَلْ.
He says, Imam Malik once said, understand and know that knowledge and action, huma, they are both the means by which you reach sa'ada, success with Allah. Knowledge, so the first one is external knowledge. How do I pray? How do I do this? Is this haram? Is this halal? That's my knowledge. And now my amal, my action, that's that inner stuff. What's going on in my heart? These are the two ways you get to Allah.
Sa'ada ta ajal. فَفِيهِمَا اِجْتَهِدْ وَفِي التَّسْفِيَةِ مِنْ كُلِّ آفَةٍ وَفِي التَّنْقِيَةِ.
He says, so in both of these, exert your effort and constantly clean your heart from all afat, all diseases.
وَصَحِّحًا بِالصِّدْقِ وَالْإِخْلَاسِ.
Continually check. He hasn't checked this. وَصَحِّحًا بِالصِّدْقِ. Continually check your sincerity and your truthfulness. So the key thing that we all need to focus on is just being true to myself. Just stop lying to you first. You know what I mean by that? Like, I can't lie to myself. I have to sit here and be like, Mikhail, why are you sitting on this chair right now, yo? Meaning, when I say why, what pushed you? What's the motivation? And so the key he's trying to say here is focus on siddiq. What does siddiq mean? But truthful to who? Yourself. Be true to yourself. Why don't I like that sister's scarf? Why does that sister get on my nerves? Be real to yourself. I know why. Okay. Huh? You're a hater. Just be real. No, just be real with yourself. Be like, yo, Mikhail, you are a hater. And sometimes you just need a friend who you truly trust, or a wifey, wherever mine is, to call you out. Like, oh, you a hater. Stop hating. Wifeys are best at that. It's amazing. You'll see soon, inshallah. Or a close friend that'd be like, yo, bro. They'll be true. They'll be a mirror to you. Not a friend that tells you what you want to hear. The friend that's a true friend that tells you what you need to hear. That's the friend. The friend that will pull you to the side and be like, bro, you got something in your beard, yo. Not the dudes that be like, Assalamualaikum, how you doing? You good? You know what I mean? You need the dude like, yo, come here. Yo. Or give you the tic-tac. Yo. That's your boy right there. He hurts your feelings but saves your life. So that's, but that truthful hurt, that truthful hit, it hurts, right? When the first time he tells you, you're breasting, you're like, ooh, dang, word. But then you feel good. You're like, oh, thank you. Same thing with this stuff. You got to sit there and ask yourself, yo, why are you doing this, bro? And everyone's got their own struggles, right? So why are you doing this? And you just got to be real. And then once you see what the cause is, now you got to rectify that. So he says, وَصَحِبْ بِالصِّدِقِ وَالْإِخْلَاسِ كِلَيْهِمَا. Fix both of these sciences sincerely and truthfully. تَذْفَرْ بِالْإِخْتِصَاسِ. You will find yourself blessed with fine qualities. Almost done, inshallah, for today. Oh, we're good. We're flowing, yo. وَبِتِّبَاءِ سُنَّةِ الْمُخْتَارِ. And hold on to the sunnah of al-mukhtar, the chosen one. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Salla wa sallam alayhi al-bari. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shower his blessings and peace upon him. وَآلِهِ وَصَحْبِهِ وَمَنْ تَبِعْ آثَارَهُمْ مِنْ مُقْتَدًا مُتَّبِعْ. He says, and may Allah's peace and blessings be upon his family, his companions, and whoever follows in his footsteps and takes him as a leader.
كُنْ مُلَازِمًا لِمَا قَدَ ثَقُلًا عليك منهما ونائل كسلا.
He says, كن ملازما. Stay on top of yourself. Hold on strong to the things of these two fields that are heavy on you. So look, check this. As you start learning about your own heart, and as you start learning more knowledge of the deen, you're going to feel a little weight on you. But he says, this is where you have to hold on. He says, hold on at this point. Meaning, it's not going to necessarily be easy, but that's where gains come. Yeah. Yeah. That's where gains come. Y'all know what gains are? All right, cool. I know y'all know it. Y'all know what gains are? Okay, cool. All right. So the gains are where? The gains are where it's heavy. كُنْ مُلَازِمًا لِمَا قَدَ ثَقُولَ. Hold on from these two things. Which two things, everyone? External knowledge and internal knowledge. This what I'm. What do I mean? You're going to study the deen and you're going to learn that thing's haram. That thing's halal. And you're going to be like, ooh, that's a bit heavy right there. But that's where you hold on. That's where you grab on. That's the struggle. And then you're going to start studying your heart and you'll realize there's things going on and I don't like that. Yo, it feels bad. But that's where you hold on. So he says, عَلَيْكَ مِنْهُمَا وَنَائِلْ كَسْلَى. He says, and just push away any type of laziness. Push it away. Push it away as much as you can. وَدُمْ عَلَى الَّذِي عَلَيْهِ تَثْبُتُ لَوْ جَاءَكَ الْمَوْتُ كَمَا قَدَ ثَبَتُ. وَدُمْ, and stay constantly upon عَلَيْهِ تَثْبُتُ, and be firm. لَوْ جَاءَكَ الْمَوْتُ, if moat comes, كَمَا قَدَ ثَبَتُ, if moat comes, you're firm, you're set, you're on what your path. So if death comes while you're just learning the basics, so be it. If death comes while you're learning the basics of your heart, so be it. You're thabit, you're firm, you're on that path, you're good to go. So we just did almost 100. Yeah, and we need this book to last for like 5 weeks. Slow down?
No, let's keep going.
No, 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 that's good, that's good, that's good. Yo, Hazm. مَا قَلَّ وَقَرَّ خَيْرٌ مِمَّا كَثَرَ وَفَرَّ. That which is small but stays is better than that which is a lot and leaves. So right now we just got the base. What is the base? He basically told us, there was a lot of gems here, but the basic thing he said to us is that, look, knowledge of deen is broken into two categories. Both of these categories you need. There's no deen without both of these. If you want a proof from this, from the sunnah, it's Hadith Jibreel, when the Prophet ﷺ was asked, Mal Islam, Mal Iman, Mal Ihsan. That hadith proves that the deen is based up of these two, external and internal. And then he told us that, look, you can't give one preference over the other. Now, to be real with you, I feel like our generation of millennial Muslims in America, we like the second one because it feels good. But the first one is like restrictive. And so I feel for us, that first one is the one we need to kind of be like, you know what? Whatever Allah's told me is halal and haram, I'm on it. I need to learn that and ask Allah to give me tawfiq on that. But here's the thing, if you increase your knowledge of yourself deeply, it'll help you on holding on to that path of the first one, inshallah ta'ala. Okay, we'll answer some questions, inshallah. Let's start. She had her hand, Haneen had her hand up for a minute. Are students of knowledge at a disadvantage in terms of internal? So as a qalam student, she's asking, she's studying the external all day, and a bit of the internal. But are you at a disadvantage? I don't think so. I think if you use your time, you know, between prayers and after prayers, time, you know, at Fajr time, different times in the day where you can reflect on yourself and sit in these type of halaqa where we talk about the second knowledge, by no means are you at a disadvantage at all. You're at an advantage. You're learning the external live, like every day. Yeah. Okay, yeah, Malik, and then back to this side. Sister, you're next, and then Jasmine. Yes?
Do you mind cumulatively reading just like a chunk of it?
You just want to hear it all?
Yeah,
okay, we'll end with just reading straight through. And we'll make a mixtape later, right? I got you. No, it is therapeutic. I feel you.
So nice.
It's beautiful. It's beautiful. Okay, sister? Yeah, okay, so the advice I would give, so the question is, what is the advice to staying consistent? like any other thing, whether it be working out, staying on a diet, whatever it may be, we all have the problem with staying on top of consistency. And one of the things that I think helps the most, sister, is to have a partner in that as well. Have a partner, number one. Number two, a routine. Like when you put yourself in a routine, things just flow and you know what's next. And for many of us, we're not on a routine. Our Islam is just kind of like whenever I get the chance to. Oh, I'll read Quran today whenever I get the chance, and then never get the chance. You know, I'll sit down and do some dhikr whenever I get the chance. I never get the chance. So I think part of being more productive and consistent is to create a routine, number one. When you create a routine, you'll just follow the routine, and even when you don't feel like it, you're just going through what is your checklist. You understand what I'm saying? And you may say, well, what's the benefit in that? Well, the benefit of going to the gym, even when I don't feel like it, is still there, right? So similarly, the benefit of my dhikr and my Quran and my reflection is still there, even when I don't feel like doing it. So routine is number one. Number two, so for example, if I hit the gym every day after Fajr, and I just keep that pattern up, I'm good. Because I just go Fajr, stop at the gym, and come to Qalam, whatever, right? So routine, number one. Number two is sometimes you just need a friend that's going to meet you at the gym. Because he'll text you, he'll be like, yo, you on your way? He's like, I'm already here, bro, come on. And you got to go. So to have a partner or a friend that is working on the same. Now you may need like three different friends. You got a Quran friend, you got a prayer friend, you got a not do haram friend. No, for real. That person who is like, yo, I didn't do haram today. No haram today, right? Yeah, we good. You need that person on each level that's with you. So you may need more than one friend for each of these issues. There may be a study Islam friend. Yeah, what book did you read today? All right, I read 3 pages. How many pages did you read? Okay, cool. You know what I'm saying? There's a sense of accountability to someone other than yourself. There's a sense of accountability to someone other than yourself. Okay? Two things, right? That should help, inshallah. But he's going to help us more detail. I want everyone to understand. Up till now, he was introducing. Even half of today's class, he was introducing. But the second half of today's lesson, he started to actually like break stuff down. And he's going to keep getting deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper. And now where he's giving you like the meat and potatoes, as they say, right? So, yes, your turn. Bismillah.
I don't even feel like asking anymore.
Alhamdulillah.
Yeah, so, Muhammad,
yes, to go back to Allah with a pure heart.
Yeah, so, I don't want to go there and it's a shock, like, oh, turns out that.
That's what this is about.
So how do you do it?
But this is what we're doing. We're going to be learning about the things in the heart that you have to get out of it and the methods for taking them out. Okay, let's start. Hasad, right? He's going to teach us, but I'm going to just give you a gem what he's going to say. Once I realize I have jealousy of someone, I can't go to Allah with jealousy in my heart or I'm done. Do we agree? Mm-hmm. I could be praying all I want. If I go back to Allah with jealousy, then I didn't go back with a clean heart. You agree? Now, how do I get jealousy out? That's what your question is. And this dars, this class, this book is what is going to be teaching us that. But let me give an example. He says, if you have jealousy for someone, you know what you do? You, in the middle of the night or after prayer, you make a dua for that person that Allah increased them in the exact same thing you're jealous of. You'll find that jealousy out quick. Because you don't want to make dua for that dude no more. And you actually make a dua, oh Allah, give him more. You're like, oh Allah, give him more. And it hurts, but that's a cure. So you're asking how to be healthy. And you're in a fitness class. You get what I'm saying? All right, so I got you. That's what this is about. All right, I want to know too. That's why I'm reading. Okay, so Isa. Okay, Nashat. Oh, the three sections, yes. Okay, the first one is Bain al-Khalqi wal-Haqqi. So listen, he's going to talk about this section about the distractions and the things that throw you off from Allah. So you and Allah, what are the things that come between you and Allah? That's what are those things? Because if you know those things, then you can remove them And now you got a better relationship. That's the first section. Second section is the vices of the heart. That's what he was just asking about. Oh, yeah, we're doing the whole thing, bro. Gotcha. You go ahead. You good. Okay, any sisters? Yes. Jasmine. So sorry. I'm so forgive me.
Okay, so I have a quick question. So Sheikh Bamba, he said that first you should work on, like, the external, then you should work on the internal. So would you say that he, like, of course I'm reaching a little bit, but would you say that he believes in this concept of, like, faking it till you make it? So, like, just keep doing the external, and then inshallah, eventually you'll feel it.
Okay, so when it comes to learning the external, there are levels of which you can learn. There's a basic level that every Muslim should know that's called Fardul Ayn, and it's the basics that every person should know, just the base. That thing, you learn the base, and then you learn the base level of the inner. Then when you go to a higher level of the external, you go to a higher level of the inner one. Do you understand what I'm saying here? So it's not like it's unbalanced, so you got all this deep inner knowledge about how to clean your heart, but you don't even know how to pray. So you start with the first one and you learn your fara'id. How do I just pray and do what I gotta do? Then once I know that, now I'm learning the basic inner knowledge. Do you get what I'm saying? So there will be a moment of possibly fake it till you make it, but not much. Because just as I learn a basic part of my external, I'm gonna immediately jump over to the internal and say, okay, now I'm gonna go to someone and say, teach me about this inner stuff about having sincerity in my prayer and all this. Teach me about that stuff. And so you're building each one block by block.
So can I ask a follow-up?
Yes, please.
Okay, so with external, it's really easy to know, like, how to do better. Like, okay, I'm already doing my, like, prayers I have to do. I'm gonna do my sunnah, then I'm gonna do PM, then I'm gonna fast. Like, you know what to do. But as far as, like,
no, he's going to, huh?
Like, what do you do to, like, external, you know what you have to do to get to, like, higher levels.
Yeah.
But internal, like,
the internal, there's certain, so when we talk about the internal knowledge, some of it has to do, obviously, with the second chapter, which is you need to be able to look inside your heart and see anger, see jealousy. First thing first, you need to know what are the things that are not supposed to be in your heart, number one. Number two, you need to recognize them within yourself. Then number three, you have to learn how to do what to those things? Remove them. You get it? So there's a stage process here. You need to recognize them, know what they are, recognize them in yourself, and then get out what you need to get out from yourself. Right? And then he'll give actual actions that we need to do. Abdurrahman. Two questions. Okay. The inner and the outer, okay. Okay.
And she says basically that if the first ayat were to be dropped down, where, you know what I'm saying?
Yes. The people would never have been able to do it. That talk about the inner state of a person. It changes your emotion first.
Would you say that's supposed to be first just a little bit?
All right, let me explain to everyone his question. His question is this. There's a hadith in Sahih Bukhari where Aisha radiallahu anha, she says that if the first verses that were to come down were don't drink alcohol and don't commit zina, then the people would have said we'll never stop. But she says the first thing that came down were the small surahs that talked about heaven and hell, and once that was firm in our hearts, then the halal and haram came. So what we're learning from that is that sometimes the heart needs to change first before we attempt to try to put rulings on people, right? And so Aisha basically is teaching us in this hadith that you need to sometimes prepare the ground before you plant the seed. If you just throw the seeds on top of the soil, they're not going to grow. They're not going to grow. So yeah, definitely, 100%, the internal has to be prepared for the external in order for people to take that.
Just a little bit.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Encourage you and keep you going.
Don't you think, like, sometimes that, like, I don't know.
Ria, showing off?
Yeah.
It's okay. It's okay at that stage. It's okay. It's a great question. Okay, the question is, if I have a friend that's helping me with Quran, so I read, they read. And I have a friend that's helping me with prayer. I pray, yo, sister, did you pray today? I prayed. So what about showing off in my actions? You get the question, right? In that case, it's okay, though. It's okay there because you're doing it as a crutch to grow. It's a stepping stone. Yes, but it's okay in the beginning. It's okay, 100% okay. You need that one person. Yeah, man, I read a hadith yesterday. It's okay to have a certain level of haya in front of people. I read a hadith today, actually, and I was going to share it with the Qalam students, which was Anas radiallahu anhu was once going for salah, and he got late. And as he's walking, he sees everyone's coming. So he hides in the alley and waits for everyone to dip, and then he comes out. And he shared it, and he was like, no, it's okay to be ashamed. It's okay. That's not haya. That's not riya, to be ashamed of not doing what's right and things like that. Why am I bringing that up? Is because if I have one person who I feel shame before, like, yeah, man, I didn't work out today. Yeah, man, I didn't pray today. That's helping me in the long run become more regular on my prayer, on my Quran, whatever it may be. So I understand how you're saying, oh, there's no ikhlas in that action. Nah, man. No, I'm with you. That's a beautiful question. It's a beautiful question, bro. It's a beautiful question. Because you're thinking, no one. I should be doing it only for Allah. But the question is about consistency. I want to do it, but just some days I'm down. Those days I need my boy Abdurrahman to call me and be like, yo, did you read Quran today? You get it? So I think I understand your question, but without a shadow of a doubt, it's okay. Now you want to grow from that, though. You want to get to the point where you're in the gym, whether Yazin shows up or not. I'm in the gym. You get it? But in the beginning, sometimes you need that help. All right? I think I gave some homework last week, didn't I? What was the homework last week? You weren't here. There wasn't that we had to do?
No.
Okay, so your homework for next week is if you need that partner, you need to get that partner. That partner to help you stay consistent, you got to find that if you need it. Yeah, when you find that partner, then you'll realize what that is, right? No?
You figure it out first, right?
Yeah, true.
Or your friend who got that from the partner to tell you.
So it's a two-partner.
If you know what you need to work on, then you need to find that friend that's going to help you work on it.
Most people don't know what's going on.
Yeah, most people don't. So we're going to get to that, inshallah. Khair, any other questions before we finish, inshallah? Oh, yes. Can I just read it? Not everything we just read. Not everything, right?
No.
Just a few lines, right? All right, bismillah. I'm just going to right now. Yes?
It was actually about the style, so I guess you can just answer.
Okay.
What's the style that he writes in?
It's poetry.
Oh, no. Thank you, sir. No, I meant so he, brings up a topic, and then does he, mirror it back? So he talks about, having these, a class and all these things, and later he's like, okay, you can have the class, but you might not have, the stuff in your heart. So does he almost, go back and pull things as he goes throughout?
I don't think he just goes through each one individually.
So it's more of,
Yeah. Okay, we're going to finish right now, but because of the request of Malik, I'm going to just recite maybe 10 or 12 lines of it straight through.
Nadhamtuhu nasihat al-ikhwani arju biha ridala dar-rahmani wallahi rabbi ajtadi wa huwa karim taqabbalu al-a'mal minna wa arum ghufranahu wa lutfahu wa rahma huna wa hanna li jami'il ummah ومنه جل وهو ذو فضل على عباده أرجو بها هدى الملا ومنه أيضا أرتجي كون النظام جنة قاريه أن كل ملام وكونه منجينا في القبر من فتنة وهول يوم الحشر وأن يكون جالب النورين لنا بفضل الله في الدارين وأن يزيدنا تعالى أيضا هدى وإرفانا بها وفيضا ومنه أيضا أطلب السلامة من الرضا إلي مع الملامة ومنه رمت الاستقامة أبد في سنة المختار خير من عبد
الله أكبر الحمد لله الله accept إن شاء الله تعالى